Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we have in with us to kick off the 9 o'clock hour, our great friend, Executive Director of the Southwood County Humane Society, Madison Rafter.
Good morning.
Morning, Madison. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing a lot better once I saw your car pull up. Is that like, oh, she doesn't have to call in. All right. This is awesome.
Yeah, because our phones aren't working.
Yeah. We appreciate you being here, Madison. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to, Madison was telling us in her pregame here a little bit, she's going to have some great numbers for us the next time she joins us. Looking forward to that. We'll be able to dive into a little more of that then.
I'm excited.
When it comes to right now, Madison, we don't like to make the audience wait too long. Who is our pet of the week?
Our pet of the week this week is Frosty the Orange Cat. Frosty came into us as a stray. I'm not very one much for the big holiday spirit, so that was my input of naming an animal. That was my holiday theme. Frosty the Orange Cat. So
way to get into the spirit. Nice, good on you.
Frosty came into us as a stray. We age estimate him to be about 2 years old. He is neutered, up to date on vaccines and microchipped. He is kind of just a little talker. He will tell you all about it when he's got feelings and what's going on. He will tell you, but he's just a little love bug. Wants to be cuddled. He definitely takes a little bit to warm up. Once he warms up, he wants to just sit in your lap, and he does not want to move. He has claimed his place, and that is where he will stay all day.
I am a sucker for orange cats. I love orange cats. That coat is beautiful.
Is it true that all orange cats are male?
No. It is true that most orange tabbies, 80% of the time, are going to be male. But we just had it where one of our orange cats that was a tabby that came is a female. So it used to be the stereotype was a lot more a couple years back. So it used to be like 90% were male and then 10% were female. But no, the orange tabbies are now starting to be
They're getting diversified.
Good on the tabby community.
They can't all be called Garfield anymore. Yeah.
Do they all hate lasagna or love lasagna?
They might.
It's worth a test.
And cheese, come on.
Outside of Mondays, is there anything else that this cat should avoid? It should stay away from us?
You know, not really. He seems to be pretty good with cats. No concerns there. Haven't dog tested him, so not sure how he'd do in a home with dogs. So obviously very slow introductions. I do know where we picked him up from. There was a dog in the house, and he was in there for a couple little while, but he didn't seem to mind too much, but can't really give you a good guarantee on that part. He seems fine, like he'd do good in a home with kids, so not really any restrictions for Frosty.
That age, too, seems like a perfect age for kids, for families.
Yep.
Are they still kitten-like at two?
Yeah, I mean, even puppies, kittens, rabbits, anything usually in between the age of 2 months to about three. They're still got that personality growing. Like, my puppy is almost two now. I still call him a puppy, but it's because he acts like a puppy. So usually anywhere in between that 2 months to 3 years old, they still have that personality growing. They're still a toddler, still trying to learn the world, learn personalities, how to be an animal. But they're fun and they're interesting that way. But
more interactive.
Yeah, I know a rabbit that's two years old that acts like a 13-year-old teenager, like a teenager. Like it's interesting that as we're talking about this, the maturity of it, mature enough to be able to know where to go to do its business and all these other things, while still fun and silly enough to just have fun with the kids, have fun with the family. It's a great age.
Yeah, they still get that young personality where they're very playful, still want to be around, don't really have crabby antics of like, oh, I don't want to do this today. They're always usually pretty optimistic to new things. So very similar to kids.
Seems like Frosty here would be a good fit for just about any family. Certainly the dog thing, consider that. If you do have a dog in the family, it's something that we might want to test that out first or figure that out first. But otherwise, seems like a good fit for most any family.
Yeah, he's a really good cat, so I love him. If I needed another one, I would take him in a heartbeat.
I look at him, and I'm very tempted myself. He's a handsome cat. That's a very cool cat. Madison, outside of that news, how are things going over at the shop? How are things happening at the shelter?
Things are going good. Building renovations are moving along, trugging along. We're very excited to see the end product. They hopefully should be doing epoxy later this week for the floors. They started building our playroom later this week, so we're very excited to see how everything's going to keep going, and hopefully we can be done with this by mid-January.
Fingers crossed. That's
Forward
what we're
progress.
Hoping. Yeah. Everything's going on time, the construction. It's all happening.
So far, yes.
Good to hear. Good to hear. And that's all you can hope for, especially in construction. Yes. Everything says staying on time. That's great. Shout out to those workers out there doing great work. How can we work for you? How can we help you, Madison, and the Humane Society?
Yeah, definitely always in need of donations. We're still in kitten season. And we just, mm-hmm. I think we've got maybe 3 litters left in foster care. Mm-hmm. So we've got a couple kittens coming back, cat litter, cat food. Even just sharing our animals, too. We have lots of animals, especially some of our long length of stays that are still sitting here that we're looking to get adopted. Quite a few dogs. We luckily got our 2 long length of stay cats adopted last week, so we were very excited to see them go home. But just sharing our animals, getting the word out there, that kind of thing.
It goes a lot farther than we realize. Every one of us have friends on our feed that we may share, mutual friends, and then there's like the 80% of the other people. And you just put a simple post up or repost something, and you just don't know who's going to see that. And especially with something like this, like a little later, I'm going to put Frosty out on my page and share it with the WFHR page. Who knows? Somebody sees that, and maybe by the end of the day, Frosty has a home. You know, man, it's one less thing that you guys have on your plate.
Yeah. I think we had an adopter come up all the way from Ohio last
summer
to come adopt an animal. So it was again, sharing is one of those things that it's fantastic because it gets to a different crowd of people that they may not normally see.
The power of social media, the good things we can do with it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite relationships I will ever have was with this blue healer, Chloe, who we got from Texas. Like they shipped her up here and everything. Yeah. It was crazy. And so you're so right about that. And that's another good point about sharing it on social media. We all have friends out of state, out of town. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad idea either, to be able to spread the word about these things and see. Madison, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about Frosty or any of the great things you guys are doing over there at the Humane Society, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can fill out an application on our website at swchs.com. They can shoot us an email at swchs@swchs.com or give us a call over at the shelter at 715-423-0505.
This is kind of wrapping up almost our first year doing this with you and the Humane Society again. We've, of course, for a long time, WFHR has had Pet of the Week, but you and us working together. I just want to thank you for the time, everything you put into this community, everything you help this station with. We really appreciate you, Madison.
Thank you.
This community is made better because of you. We appreciate that. And your team over there. So say hi to them. Wish them a happy new year. We'll see you next year.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks, Madison.
Thank you.
Well, you can find out more at swchs.com, swchs.com. Be sure to follow the Southwick County Humane Society on social media. Great way to follow up and keep up to date on all the great work they're doing. Take a break. We'll come back. We got fun, weird, silly New Year's traditions around the world to celebrate on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR. Mel and James here with you.
Being beat up and battered around, being sent up and I've been shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care.
We're going to dive into a little entertainment news now, but we do want to send a gigantic shout out to our great friend Madison Rafter from the South County Mean Society joining us there. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was always fun
Head
talking
over to
her.
Their website to check out Frosty. He's a pretty handsome dude.
Yeah, you definitely want to do that, everybody. there's maybe a new furry friend for you over there. I think that if you have a situation in your home that fits, a great way to start the new year with a pet.
Or a great suggestion to make to a friend.
Mm-hmm. Share your on your social media, share not only Frosty, but any of these great pets you come across. We get into a little bit of entertainment news now, Melissa, and we have to start on a melancholy spot, saying goodbye to another legend, as we did earlier in our show with Herb Cole. We lost another legend yesterday, and that is maybe local, but still as impactful and important. Tom Smothers, one half of the famed comedy duo, passed away at the age of 86 yesterday. I love the Smothers Brothers growing up, big fan. They do sarcastic, darkish type of humor
with music. Which totally works for you.
Yes, with music. two of the most talented individuals I think I've seen, and some of the greatest chemistry any of us will ever see. Comedian Tommy Smothers, who with his brother performed as the singing comedy duo, the Smothers Brothers, passed away according to a family statement. Dick Smothers, Tom's younger brother and professional partner, said his brother was at home at the time of his death related to cancer.
Hmm.
Quote, Tom was not only the loving older brother that everyone would want in their life, he was a one-of-a-kind creative partner, Dick's mother said in a statement. I am forever grateful to have spent a lifetime together with him, on and off stage. For over 60 years, our relationship was like a good marriage. The longer we were together, the more we loved and respected one another. We were truly blessed. The folk singing brothers became pioneers with their biting satirical comedy with at the forefront of the CBS variety show, The Smothers Brother Comedy Hour, which ran from 67 to 69. The show would have lasted longer, but they got canceled. They got blackballed because of some of the things that they were talking about, some of the things that they did with comedy that not everybody was doing and nobody like them was doing.
Right.
You didn't see two white guys up there singing, talking about Vietnam or talking about certain things that they
racism
were.
Racism.
Yes, yes.
Being
sexism.
Censored on television.
Yeah. Now, whether you agreed with them or not is here or there. All of us should be thankful they were doing it because everybody should care about free speech. Everybody should care about being able to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. They like to... certain sides of the aisle like to take words and like snowflake or woke or things and like rebrand them and turn them into something that they were never intended for. And I think of these guys with that because these guys right now, if the Smother Brothers show was on right now, would be having a field day with some of the stuff that's going on right now.
They were the John Oliver and the Colbert of their day.
Yeah. Yeah, long before
comedians who were actually taking situations that are happening in real life, real day, making them yes funny, but also stating the what's really going on, and saying it like it is.
Yeah. CBS famously yanked the show from the air after they ran afoul with the network for their political critiques, defense of civil rights, and their opposition to the Vietnam War. Quote, 50 years later, I look back on us being fired, and I'm still ticked off. That's not what he said, but that's what I can say on the air. Tom Smothers said to Laughs in a 2019 interview he shared on All Arts TV. It was the older brother Smothers was born in 1937, a year before his brother Dick, and the pair grew up in California and began performing after attending San Jose State University. Because of a lot of that other stuff, because of the canceling of the show and some of the conversations they would have with some of their stuff, I feel like we lose sight of the fact of how darn musically talented they were.
Well, when they started out, they wanted to be folk singers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
That's why they're so musically talented.
Huh, I didn't know that.
But
that
they
makes
found,
sense.
Yeah, they found success weaving comedy into their act, which is how they got on CBS.
I will go back and watch. I did last night, and I'll go back and watch a number of their bits. Incredibly funny. Gigantic names in comedy to me. I don't know if they're seen that way by most. I will say, when I bring them up with my students and everything, they know who the Smothers Brothers are. And I'm talking 19, 18-year-olds.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know. It sticks in your head.
Yeah,
Smothers Brothers.
It does stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It works.
It's good branding. Good branding. Yeah. But he will be missed. Will be missed. Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on this one too, Melissa. I thought this was pretty interesting. You can find the complete article at CNN.com. Fox.com also has an article very similar to it. Just the two sources I pulled for this conversation. Not long ago, Latin artists had to make crossover albums in English if they wanted to win over big in the U.S. Now experts say something significant is shifting in music, and the chart ranking of Spanish language songs from stars like Bad Bunny, Carol Kay, reveal a lot more about changes in the music industry and the U.S. The first Spanish language song to make it into the top 10 of Billboard's Hot 100 chart was a version of the classic Cuban song Guatemalan, performed by the Sandpipers, an American folk group back in 1966.
Okay.
Back then, there were only about 8.5 million Latinos living in the United States. Now, there are about 64 million, making up roughly 19% of our total population. And there are far more Spanish language songs making it into the Billboard Top 100 now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing a huge shift of this. And no longer do artists like Bad Bunny or any of these artists feel like they have to change.
Re-record their songs.
Yeah. Now they're just doing them as is.
Yeah.
And what's very interesting about this to me is similar to what we saw with country music and the rise of that, what we saw with and very similar from that to the rise of hip hop. You're not seeing it where you might say. You might say country music, well, I'm sure that's really big in rural communities, and it's got, it grew up really big in small towns, what have you, or anything. Down in the South made it really big, and that, a lot of that is true, but what really got country music over was it being big in cities.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar with hip-hop. You would say, well, urban communities made hip-hop popular. No. White kids in the suburbs made hip hop popular. That's where all their album sales came from. That's mm-hmm. where all the that's how it got on MTV. That's how it got because they saw white kids in the suburbs listening to it. It's similar with this. It's not just the Spanish community that's buying this. It's everybody that's buying this music. Black, white, Latino, don't matter. Everybody's buying the Spanish music.
Doesn't matter what language you speak.
Right. They like the beat. They like the sound of it. Mm-hmm. They're just going to jam to it. They don't.
Right.
I mean, how many times do you like a song and you don't know any of the lyrics?
Even when it's in your own language.
Right.
How many of us have it wrong?
Yep, I know. I'm raising my hand. Uh-huh. There's about 90 songs I sing along to as soon as they come on in the car, and all 90 of them, I get the lyrics wrong.
Well,
I'm sure of it.
And the person next to you, that's not what they're saying. Like, I don't care. That's what I think they're saying.
Yep, that's all that matters. It's just fascinating. Interesting mm-hmm. kind of change of this is going on, and it's one of those things where I think it's so cool when these things happen organically. You've got people right now being paid thousands and thousands of dollars sitting in music studios or production meetings, trying to figure out what the next big thing is, trying to create the next big thing, trying to make this happen or that happen. If you just sit back and let it happen organically, the audience will tell you what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things they want right now, is more of this or certainly celebrating and promoting a lot of these artists.
Well, and the thing to remember too, James, in my opinion, when you're talking about this, is diversity makes life interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it fun. It makes it colorful. If we all speak the same language, that's boring.
God, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because, and I say this from the viewpoint of, I don't know another language.
Mm,
like, I want to learn Spanish. It's on my bucket list. I've spent money on it. I have a subscription that I don't use because I haven't done it. And so I'm as guilty of it as every other American that doesn't know another language. But there are so many places in the world where people learn other languages and it enriches their life. Being able to listen to music, actually, I spoke with, there was a Latino woman that I worked with years ago who she's giving me Spanish music CDs. She's like, this is the best way for you to learn it. Listen to the music. You will start to recognize words. I mean, there's an immersion into the culture that's going to help you with that, but it broadens your horizon so much from what I've heard, because I can't speak to it personally because I don't know another language.
Buongiorno, senorita. Buongiorno, senorita, dusa bella banane. That is my broken Italian telling you, you have beautiful hair.
Oh, thank you.
All my Italian is like that. It feels like if somebody that actually knows the language was listening to me, like somebody was recording just every word and snipping it into things. That's
you're using Google Translate?
Right, yeah, exactly. It'd be just like that, yeah. I think that not only are the languages fun, other cultures are fun. And for me, when I read about, I read about Indian culture, I read about Native American culture or any of these things, while I don't have any ties to those things, it makes me think of my own and brings not only pride in my own, but seeing a connection or seeing how so much, even as an Italian culture, I see a connection to Native American culture. I see these little things and these parallels, which make us
show. Because we're all human.
And how we are all connected. And we have more in common than not.
But those differences in cultural upbringings are amazing.
Should be embraced. Should be empowered.
And they should be embraced.
And fun. They're good. They're wonderful things.
Yeah.
We got a new wonderful thing coming up with our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. The Glass Menagerie has their audition date set.
That's right. Next Tuesday and Wednesday, I believe,
mm-hmm.
right? The 3rd and 4th?
Yeah, at 6:30 over at the WRCT Auditorium. If you are looking to audition for this show, keep in mind the production dates will be in March. So if you have any plans
mm-hmm.
for the first 2 weeks of March, that might not be able to audition, but we encourage everybody to.
Mm-hmm. Or if you can help out backstage. You know, they need people to help build the set. They need ushers during the show. They need people to help with hospitality. So
I always forget to mention ushers. Thank you.
Well, yeah. But the building and, you know, the production leading up to that, that doesn't tie you in for the first 2 weekends of March.
Right. So. Yeah. You can be a part of things and help out. And you could also be a part of our friend Seth Habegger's debut, directorial debut.
Yay, Seth!
We're
don't
very
tell
proud
him
of
we cheered him on.
Oh, no,
don't
no.
tell him I cheered
yeah,
him
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We really are excited for Seth. I really wanted to be a part of this. I got to be honest with the audience. I actually was training for it. I was working on Tom's monologue and everything.
Nice.
I was warning Seth. I'm like, I'm going for this, man. That opening monologue of Tom's is one of my top 10 favorite monologues of all time.
Yeah.
I love it. Got too many other things going on. Got too many things in the fire. I'm actually, it looks like I may have some actual paid work coming up with acting. So I'm looking forward to that. Okay. I encourage everybody and their mother and father and their kids to audition for this show. There are only 4 parts.
There are.
So,
2 men, 2 women.
If you are unable to be on stage or if maybe you're not ready to be on stage, as Melissa touched on, there are a billion other jobs for you there.
Mm-hmm.
Join our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater when they have these auditions and when they have all their shows. Buy local, support the local arts. Find out more at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Taking a break, getting to our state and local news. Be back with more fun. Let me see. We got the weird New Year's celebrations we got to get into. It's coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James with you. Now here's some Enya. Or is it Enigma? Is it Enigma or Enya?
Enya.
It is Enya. It is.
Yeah. Stop talking!
Welcome.
No! Okay, you can talk now.
She really does have a beautiful. You know, I like the music, but I don't listen to the lyrics very much. I don't know if
it's because you're busy talking.
Oh yeah, that doesn't help. It's talk radio. It's 20 years of talk or years and years of talk radio.
Getting you duct tape for your birthday.
You and all my loved ones would appreciate that. We dive into weird traditions from around the world as we are looking at New Year's and our own New Year's celebrations here. And while we have some interesting ones, like tomorrow, I want to one of the things I want to get into with Katrina, who's going to join us on the morning show tomorrow. We used to dropping of the balls comes from with New Year's. I want to get into that a little bit. That's one of our American traditions here. But what about around the world? What do they have for traditions when it comes to this?
Like, well, the other ones I'd just like to mention for here that I'm aware of is what? Clinking of glasses and drinking
glasses,
and
yeah.
a kiss.
Yes. Yeah.
I kissed a lot of people in bars on New Year's Eve when I was in a band.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I did, and I wasn't even in a band. Interesting. Oh, we had a follow-up questions on that one. That's a good one.
Nope.
In Scotland, Hogmanay. Hogmanay is an end of the year.
Hogmanay,
thank you. Hogmanay is an end of the year New Year's Eve party that starts on December 30th and ends on New Year's Day. There are many various different ways they celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
People gather in a circle to link arms and belt out the lyrics after the clock strikes 12, eating 12 grapes. This is very.
Oh yeah, yeah. We also sing "Auld Lang Syne."
Yes, yeah. There we go. There's another one that we do. Yeah.
They eat grapes.
In Spain, they eat 12 grapes at midnight.
Oh.
In Spain, eating grapes at midnight is a big tradition.
Okay, cool.
I kind of like that. I think that's kind of cool.
For the number of months in the year?
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
Or midnight?
Yeah, but I believe it's, from what I've read, it's the 12 months of the year. Each grape represents one of them, and it's supposed to...
You pick each one up and eat it, and if you get a sour one or a rotten one, that month's going to be bad?
I'm avoiding March.
Well, it's going to be a bad June this year.
Sorry, everybody. We go to my mother country, Italy. In parts of Italy, such as Naples, the motto is "Out with the old," where on New Year's Eve, it is tradition to throw old, unwanted furniture out balconies.
Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa. They don't hold back.
They clear the streets. They make sure the streets are clear. And they actually, if you live on the first floor, you will talk to your neighbor upstairs.
Can I borrow your balcony? I've got this couch, also means I need your help.
There are families that will get together that live in apartment complexes or things like that. They will get together. They will have a party. And then they will do this at the end of the party where they'll just throw their old furniture out.
Wow.
If you are looking for work and you are a carpenter, I feel like Italy would be a
January is a great time for you.
Yeah. I mean, you're making buco bucks on this.
Or if you're a scrapper.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Nice.
You know?
Nice. That's good.
Just go and get what you need out of the streets.
In Japan, bells are rang 108 times in Buddhist tradition that is believed to banish all human sins. It's also good luck to be smiling or laughing going into the new year. So similar to our, maybe it's not, but you know, you kiss at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought of that as not only as a foolish romantic, but as a beautiful way. Oh, every year, like you start the year this way with, you know, kissing someone or kissing someone you love or whatever. I don't know. There's something really cool and beautiful to me about that.
It's a poignant moment.
Seems a little similar to this. Like if you're smiling or happy at right as the clock strikes midnight, it's supposed to be a good thing.
The 108, was it 108?
Yes.
Bells, that's cool too. It's interesting. I'd like to look more into that.
Yeah,
and why that number?
Yeah. Why? Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It just all I'm reading is the Buddhist belief that it brings cleanliness. We've kind of covered that, but I am curious about the 108. Yeah, I'm with you on this. Let's see. There is red lingerie in Turkey.
Hey.
Those who want to find love wear red underwear for New Year's. Well, it's gold.
Just don't advertise it. Apparently, that'll get you fired.
Otherwise, people wear yellow underwear, which brings wealth and luck. Okay. All right.
I don't own any yellow underwear.
I don't own either of those colors. I don't.
Well, apparently you need to diversify, James.
Yeah, I definitely do. That's a good one. I like that one. How about scarecrow burning? That is big in Ecuador.
To
banish any ill fortune or bad things that happened in the past year, Ecuadorians set fire to scarecrows filled with paper.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I like that one. That's an interesting one. Of course, another one that we maybe didn't mention, Melissa, that is pretty big here in the States, but also very big over across the pond in England, polar bear plunges.
Oh, polar bear plunges.
It's a very big one over in Europe.
Really?
In Canada. Apparently, charitable or in Canada and Europe.
Charity or for just the fun of jumping in cold water?
It looks like in Canada, it's mainly combined with charitable organizations.
Okay.
In the UK, it seems a little bit.
Okay.
Hmm.
I mean, there is the health aspects of ice bathing, is a thing. I'll take a cold shower.
yeah. I feel like that I can control a lot better.
Out a lot quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you don't fall.
In Romania, they'll be talking to animals. Over in Romania, farmers spend their New Year's communicating with their livestock. Apparently, if they succeed, good luck comes.
If they succeed.
How do they know if they succeeded?
Well, I guess if they're lucky during the year, then they know.
That seems rough. That's like you don't know how that one's going
to
go.
Well, we've talked about how difficult it is to actually know what animals are thinking,
aside of
what, you know, we personificate upon them.
Right, right. Smashing plates and jumping off chairs in Denmark. This may be my favorite.
Jumping off chairs.
Yeah. It is customary for residents of Denmark to celebrate New Year's Eve by throwing old plates and glasses. Jumping off chairs. In Copenhagen, Denmark, it is tradition to jump off a chair at the stroke of midnight. It's supposed to bring good fortune and good luck.
Jump off a chair. Okay. All right.
How
many twisted and ankles are seen?
Exactly. It's the first thing I thought of.
Because how much champagne or whatever they drink in Denmark is consumed before then?
I don't know if it's a good idea to be. Yeah, maybe after the jump, maybe hit the sauce a little.
Where do they throw the plates and the cups? That sounds messy.
It's, again, another one of those things. You want to be working in that industry in these countries. Like, another New Year's.
Glass sales go up.
I mean,
January 2nd.
Got to think that it's a good gig to have. Banging bread in Ireland. Another superstition hailing from the Emerald Isle is banging specially baked Christmas bread against the walls on New Year's Eve. The Irish used to bang loaves of bread against the wall when the clock struck midnight. It was supposed to ward off bad spirits while welcoming good ones.
Interesting.
I couldn't
smash this loaf against the wall.
I couldn't find why bread. I couldn't find that what the reason, what the tie into that
probably
was.
Because it was easy to come by.
Yeah. It also, though, does make me think a little bit of, like, well, they didn't have a ton of, like, food back then. So you really got to really believe in what you're doing if you're waiting. I wouldn't say wasting it, but, you know.
You hang on to it, James. You don't just throw it.
I suppose. As I was saying it, I was realizing. Yeah,
you're banging against. It's like, you know, it's like a drumstick.
Yeah. You could still eat it. I'm an idiot. We go to Chile for our next one, where interesting camping they're doing. While they eat at midnight in Spain, what they hit against the wall in Ireland, but they are doing it a weird combination in Chile, where they have graveyard camping. Locals in Talca, central Chile, like to see in the new year in the company of their dead relatives and bring them with them, bring the spirit of them with them.
Interesting.
The relationship with the dead in Latin countries, I think, is something that's admirable to me in many ways.
It's very different than what we do here.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of your typical New Orleans funeral. Where it seems to be more of a celebration of life than a mourning of the loss. Mm-hmm. And to each their own. However you mourn, you mourn. That's up to you. It's yours.
It's a private thing.
I've always really appreciated that, though, the celebration of life. I feel like you can do both things. You can chew gum and walk at the same time. You can mourn and feel, but also celebrate.
And I think that we're migrating away from that a bit here. You know, it's not obligatory to wear black to a funeral anymore. Yeah. They're more often called celebration of life than funerals.
Yeah.
So I think in some ways we're starting to move away from that, but honoring the dead, I think, is another step in that process.
Dropping ice cream. While dropping ice cream on the ground was sent countless children to cry, it is a New Year's tradition in Switzerland.
Really?
Hmm. They drop that on the floor to get rid of the messiness of the last year. And to bring in cleanliness to the new year and goodwill.
So let's
goodwill.
Create a mess.
I guess, yeah.
To get rid of and then you clean it up, I suppose. So you're just demonstrating both things.
I feel like my mother would have a lot of problems with that one.
Can I drop it on a plate?
Yeah, it seems
so
like
that.
Yeah,
I can still eat it.
that seems like a better way of doing this, yes, yeah. Smashing pomegranates.
Pomegranates
In Turkey, local smashed pomegranates. So another tradition out of Turkey.
They're too expensive here to do that.
Yeah. You don't see many people. I don't think you're going to see many people doing that one. Interpreting molten tin. We send a shout out to our Finn friends out there. Finland will melt a mini tin horseshoe in a pan until it completely melts before pouring the resulting metallic goo into a cold bucket of water. It is believed that people are able to predict the coming year by casting molten tin into the container of water and interpreting the shape.
Okay. So it's the Finnish version of reading your tea leaves.
Yeah. Wasn't there something that kids used to do with this where they drop like candle wax into water or something and see what it formed? And I don't know. That wasn't something I ever did, but I seem to remember like TV shows talking about it or something.
I've never heard of that, but I've Seems heard of, you know, like at parties where you peel off an apple peel in one long strip, and then you throw it over your shoulder to see what letter is formed. So that's going to be the name of the person you marry.
Okay.
Prediction.
All right. And the smashing of plates in Denmark, I think, is one of the more popular ones, I think, that people know about. And there's a couple of countries that do similar things to that. There's some really interesting ones.
Traditions are interesting. They're fun.
I wonder, too, if any of these get spurring ideas in people's brains to either incorporate them or Americanize them, or, you know, make them our own. I think we got great traditions when it comes to New Year's, but I also think that people are looking for something else, looking for a new one or something more or something to make fun about it. This happened years ago with Christmas with the Elf on the Shelf thing, where now it seems like that's been around since we were kids, but it hasn't. It hasn't been around that long at all, really, I believe. Certain traditions, like incorporating new ones with the old, I like the idea of that.
I've got one. Instead of smashing plates, why don't we banish styrofoam plates?
I like that.
Get rid of them. Stop making them.
Yeah,
they're
right
not
with that.
Good for the environment.
It seems like a great tradition. Caring about the planet. Yeah. Let's do that. How about suitcases in Colombia? Let's wrap up in Colombia. Over in Colombia, there's a tradition or a bit of a legend that carrying an empty suitcase on December 31st is good luck. As the clock inches towards midnight in Colombia, family and friends gather at home to enjoy a homemade feast and lots of Argentinian meals and have this empty suitcase with them.
Carrying an empty suitcase.
Huh. Walking around with an empty suitcase.
Okay. It's easier than a full one, I guess.
Very true. Very true. That's a good one. There's a lot of countries that do high jumps. Like into water like that. There's a lot of those things. There's some interesting ones out there. And we encourage everybody to, if you...
Explore.
Yeah.
See if you want to incorporate a new New Year's tradition into your family.
And I want to open this up while phones aren't working, of course.
You can message us.
Yes, you can email us. We encourage you to email us. I want to know your family's traditions. Do you have any fun family traditions and everything? If we can collect some of these, we'll do them next Tuesday on the show.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. But I'd love to know. For my family, I don't think we really had anything so much. My mom and dad really didn't do too much. As an older married couple, they didn't do it too much on New Year's. Mm-hmm. It was mostly, I remember, I really think I celebrated New Year's better when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When me and my friend Chris, we got New Year's and we knew we got to stay up late and it just had fun. Mm-hmm. As an adult,
make your plans. We're going to play video games until this time, and then we're going to watch this movie, and then we're going to eat this.
Were you there? Exactly. it was just like that. It was a blast.
In a former life.
It was a blast. It was so much fun. I look at all the New Year's I've celebrated as an adult, and I've had some good ones, but even those good ones had a headache or two in it. It seems like, if not when I woke up.
A literal headache.
Taking a break. We'll come back with some more fun for you on the morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio.
Whose bed have your boots been under?
Hey. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa and James here with you.
And Shania.
And Shania. I was going to try to say Shania, and I said, because they sound so
you
much alike.
You just missed Seth and when she was here with us.
Not at all.
Be real.
Not at all.
Come on.
I did.
And I hope you don't have to wonder whose bed your boots have been under New Year's morning.
Right. We hope that for all of you out there. We got some No That Ain't Right story today. We're just going to have some good, we want to go into the new year with some good stuff and good stories for you. And got a lot of local good ones we want to get to right now. This one more of a state good story of the day. The annual First Day Hike event is scheduled at about 20 state-owned properties around Wisconsin.
Yeah.
This is always fun. One of those is in northern Door County, and that's part of How WI Live. Even on a damp late December morning, Peninsula State Park, Deputy Superintendent Jennifer Burkholz says this section of the Hidden Bluff Trail is an inviting place for a walk. Quote, everybody has that first year, New Year's resolution thing that they want to do, and everybody talks about getting out more, says Burkholz. The trail runs near the White Cedar Nature Center, where Monday's 10 a.m. hike begins, so keep that in mind, everybody. And then they'll have cookies and hot cocoa and hot beverages. Also, in the amphitheater, there is a fire pit. They'll also have a fire going there, too, they told Friends of Peninsula State Park. So if you're curious, may want to check that out. Everybody is invited, and we really hope friends and family and children. So it's a family affair and nice to be out. Park leaders say there is an all-terrain wheelchair that is scheduled to be available too, so for those that may need it. Quote, it provides them an opportunity to use a mobile device that allows them to get to places that they normally wouldn't be able to, says Burkholz.
And there's a lot more of that adaptive equipment coming into our state parks. I just reported Buckhorn State Park got an adaptive wheelchair here, a grant for one. They don't have it yet, but they will.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have known about that story without you reporting on it. I really appreciated that. I thought that was that's a really cool aspect of this, what's going on with our national parks and local parks. And this is fun. Learn more about it. Go ahead and take a hike this to start off the new year. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and I was trying to look here to see what our forecast is for New Year's Day, since we did not get our weather today.
Right.
The temperatures have been nice. Monday looks like it's going to be a little bit cooler than we have been having in the 40s, but it should be around 32. There's a low percent chance of precipitation in the Wisconsin Rapids area on Monday. Nice. But so a good day to get out and hike because, yeah. I don't know, 32 is about the perfect temperature in the winter to hike.
Agreed, 100%. Burkholz says the 1.5-mile hike could draw 50 to 100 people. Quote, we obviously promote being outdoors, camping and hiking and the sorts of activities. So this is kind of the start of the new year. Come out and go for a little hike. We've actually had really mild weather, so it should be an enjoyable hike.
Yeah, we might get some snow on Sunday, but otherwise the forecast looks pretty clear.
The first day hikers are free, but a Wisconsin State Park admission sticker is needed to enter the park. Daily and seasonal passes are available at Peninsula State Park. I gotta get there.
Well, and if you don't have your sticker yet, even if you purchase it now and you're obviously not going to get the sticker in time, but as long as you print out your receipt, you're good.
Good call. Yeah. Good thing to mention there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I look at the pictures of this and I gotta get there. It's so beautiful.
Our state parks are beautiful.
They really are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got some really, really beautiful state parks in this state.
We do.
Some really beautiful state parks in this state. That's a sentence I actually said.
State parks in this state versus county parks in this state. I don't know. I think it makes perfect sense, James.
I get paid to talk for a living. We're going to go ahead and dive into some local good stories of the day.
If you want to get your New Year's Eve on early, you can have a New Year's Eve at Lake Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. They are celebrating at the clubhouse on Saturday, December 30th. They're moving their celebration up one day. They're going to close their regular restaurant service at 3 and then reopen for reservations only from 4:30 to 8:30. So you need to contact them. You can call them at the office or email them at banquets@lakearrowheadgolf.com to make your reservation today. They will have a limited menu, and you can see that under their discussions tab, not menus.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Pre-ordering is recommended to make sure you secure your favorite items.
Be sure to check that out. Also, a really cool thing going on in Sand Valley.
Yeah, they've got also a Saturday, December 30th through Monday, January 1st, they are celebrating New Year's Eve as well. So celebrate the start of 2024 with a festive and intimate dinner in central Wisconsin. Our culinary team has crafted a tasteful and seasonal menu to enjoy with family and close friends. Only close friends. Don't bring not close friends. Indulge in a gourmet meal featuring locally sourced ingredients and creative dishes. You can pair your meal with their extensive wine list or craft cocktails and raise a glass to the new year. You can visit Sand Valley's website or call them to reserve your spot.
A big happy New Year's to all of our friends at Lake Arrowhead, at Sand Valley. Mm-hmm. These are businesses, these are establishments to put back into their community.
They are. And exciting things coming up for Sand Valley here with securing some of those PGA tours coming up. Amateur.
Things doing well in Sand Valley makes this whole central Wisconsin area better. Like it all bleeds into each other and everything. That is a pretty cool thing to look forward to in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great one. We're going to be talking more about this tomorrow at 3:30. We're going to welcome in our friends to talk about the Wayne Wilson Benefit.
Yeah.
In this family, nobody fights alone. We all fight together. The Wayne Wilson Benefit is taking place December 31st from 1 to 11. Party to continue after to ring in the new year. This is by Brothers Choice Clubhouse at 7561 Bethel Road in Arpen. It'll have raffle, music, food, 50-50 cash drawings throughout the night. This is a big event and an important one,
yeah.
And an opportunity for us to help a local, for us to help out Wayne and his family in this time of need.
He's been out of work for quite some time and struggling with the cancer diagnosis, and they need the help. So
we'll talk more about this tomorrow with members from the Wayne Wilson Benefit. But again, the Wayne Wilson Benefit happening December 31st, 1 to 11 over Brothers Choice by the Choice Clubhouse, 7561 Bethel Road in beautiful Arpen.
Mm-hmm.
The Port Edwards Basketball Alumni Game. You are invited to the annual Alumni Recognition Basketball Game. For the male side, it'll be January 2nd. Female side, January 15th. Alumni basketball players attending will be given admission to the games, be treated to on-court introductions at halftime and after-game social. Please invite your teammates and people that may not see the announcement. Spread the word about this. You never know.
Some local basketball.
Yeah, yeah. And Melissa, we had one other thing that I wanted to make sure to mention, this 4-H foodie thing coming up next week.
This Eggalicious, from deviled eggs to frittatas. You can join Jasmine in exploring fun egg-centered recipes. This is Saturday, January 6th, from 1 to 2 at the First Presbyterian Church in Marshfield. for youth in third grade and older. It's just $5 to participate, and you can register, hit up their Facebook page, and you can find the link to register there. This is through the UW-Madison Extension in Wood County. Learn more about eggs. They're amazing.
Yeah. We encourage you to stick around throughout the day. We got great shows here at Civic Media on Wisconsin coming up after us.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Jane's been doing such a great job with that show.
Yeah,
oh, I
like
it.
Listening to
Miss
Jane.
Miss Kristen. We certainly miss Kristen.
Well, but she's enjoying her new baby.
Yeah, yeah, and more power to her for that. Very happy for her for that. I've been enjoying Jane a lot. I've been getting more Jane, and I love that voice. She may be my favorite voice in radio, so we've been really enjoying that. Stick around for As Goes Wisconsin coming up in just minutes. And a little bit later today, we'll have Midday Magazine from 3 to 4. Be sure to join us. Stephen and Katrina Hittner from Family Natural Foods in part one.
Woo-hoo.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Katrina will be co-hosting with us tomorrow during
the
morning show.
Daily dose of Katrina today and tomorrow.
It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. And in part two, we're looking forward to talking with Emma Palm, president of the Snyder 4-H Club.
Oh, good.
Emma's also going to be bringing in some friends. Looks like Stacy, Bella, and Richard are also going to be with.
Nice.
So it should be a lot of fun. A great conversation. Get a chance to talk a little 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
And sports-wise, tonight right here at WFHR at 7, Wisconsin men's hockey versus Air Force. This is part of the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off at Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee.
Yeah, hockey.
Hockey. Puck drops at 7, everybody. And on our sister station, WIRI, at 12:25, our pregame will kick off for girls basketball. Lincoln High School host going up against Fond du Lac as a part of the 52nd Annual Century Classic Basketball Tournament at UWSP.
Wow. 52nd annual.
That's a great one. I want to send a big, big shout out to our friends of the station here, our friend Phil Hartley from Quality Plus Printing.
Who tried desperately to call in. Sorry, Phil.
Yeah, we apologize for that, Phil, but we are looking forward to talking to you next Wednesday. We're getting our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Appreciate Quality Plus sponsoring Playmakers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Visit them at 3515 8th Street South of Wisconsin Rapids. Their doors are open right now. Be sure to follow along on their Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And Madison Raff, executive director of the Southland County Humane Society, joining us talking about Frosty the Orange Cat. He was our pet of the week.
Handsome dude.
Yeah, good. Check out Frosty and other great animals and your new future furry friend over at SWCHS.com. Mm-hmm. SWCHS.com.
And sorry we couldn't talk to Paul Tromley today.
We miss you, Paul. We're looking forward to talking to you hopefully tomorrow or hopefully soon. Yes.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Melissa.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Really good day. Really good show. Enjoy the new year. We'll hang
you
out again.
Too.
Next year.
Next year.
Oh, that's crazy to think. Have your good day, everybody. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.